Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. This is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Richard Sale, who has been reporting on intelligence since the late 1970s. He was a finalist for the Pulitzer Prize and is the author of Clinton's Secret Wars. He has an article at Truthout, U.S. and Israel Tech Teams Develop Malworm to Take Down Iran's Computer Software. Welcome to Background Briefing, Richard Sale.
Thank you very much.
And your article follows on from the Stuxnet story that the U.S. and Israelis have developed an improved version called Malworm, and it's extraordinary to learn from your article, Richard, that Sergey Brin at Google, Steve Ballmer at Microsoft, and Larry Ellison at Oracle have been working with Israel's top cyber warriors. What's your sense of because I understand the Stuxnet was very effective, and next week the International Atomic Energy Agency is expected to issue a report saying that the Iranian program is going ahead, and that is likely to give fodder to hawks on both in Israel and the United States. So if the Stuxnet was so effective, how come the Iranians are up and running again?
Well, they're not up and running. I mean, I think that, frankly, it's a ludicrous opinion. There's no doubt the Israeli hawks are clamoring for war, but they're not doing a very good job of it. Their country's enormously divided. But in any case, Stuxnet was extremely effective, and the new versions will even be more so. The Iranians are trying very hard to develop a counter, but they're not having much success in doing that.
Well, our previous guest, Robert Dreyfus, I mentioned the Stuxnet virus, and he said, you know, that is, in fact, an act of war to insert a virus into another country's mainframe.
Well, I don't know about that. I'm not a legal expert, so I couldn't tell you. I just know that it took enormous amounts of money. It was done over a period of years. Whoever inserted it in Iran, and I'm absolutely positive the Israelis and the Americans did it, they developed a model of the Iranian machinery, and were able then to insert the virus. It works in this way. Part of the virus, it works as reconnaissance. It covers weaknesses in the Iranian computer system, and the Israeli segment of it inserts those into the machines.
And this caused these cascades of centrifuges spin at 86,000 RPM. So
that's right. Not only that, you know, they're set in a way that the damage is not being recorded, right. So the machines appear to be functioning normally.
So this IAE report that's coming out next week, that's supposed to be alarming and give grist to the mill.
Because I've been talking to very former senior U.S. intelligence officials, and their stance is if this new report be very good, because they don't expect to produce anything new.
So, what about then other reports that one hears that when this plot was uncovered and announced by Eric Holder that an Iranian-American used car salesman down in Texas had somehow got together with the Mexican drug cartel hitman to kill Saudi ambassador at his favorite Georgetown restaurant. A lot of people thought that was pretty off the wall, but I keep hearing from people in the State Department, they're absolutely convinced this is for real. So,
I would disagree. I mean, they may say that. It's part of their job, but it's not real at all. Mm-hmm. There's no evidence saying that the Iranian government at any level was involved in this. It strikes me as nonsense, frankly. That's not the way the Iranians pay for their operations anyway. They don't use drug cartel money.
So the theory is that the Saudis are pushing us. We know that Jabai, in the WikiLeaks document, the same ambassador that was allegedly a target of the Iranian and the Mexican hitman, he is the one that talked about cutting off the head of the snake vis-a-vis Iran. We know that there's a lot of tension between Iran and Saudi Arabia. A Saudi ambassador was murdered recently in Karachi, supposedly by the Iranians. The Iranians replaced Iran's second biggest customer for oil, India, because of banking sanctions. And in this recent hearing last week in the Congress, where U.S. Congressmen were told that the Pentagon has contingency plans, and there are even contingency plans to shut down Iran's central bank, which sounds like a kind of casus belli. Retired General Jack Keane said, we've got to put our hands around their throat now. So where do you think, is this just rhetoric on our hawks, you know?
No, I mean, look, the Israelis have been hungering for this strike as early as May. Officials in DOD have been doing one classified study, war game after the next, you know, dealing with all the alternatives and scenarios. This has been very serious. But it's interesting that the people who are in DOD or who are performing these contingency drills and whatever, they're against the intelligence. They can practice this stuff, but they do not believe it will happen. And they, again, their stance is, again, that the Iranian program came to an end in 2003. So the Israelis can say what they want, but they would have to drag the United States into it. And, of course, Britain is now talking about, well, if the U.S. is dragged into it, then they'll come in as well. But it just doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, I'm a big student of history. So if I look at 1914 and you look at all the incredibly illogical and highly emotional errors that were committed at that time, I'm not saying that something like that could occur in this instance, but I don't think it will happen.
Well, aren't there very compelling reasons why it's reckless beyond belief? Because of the price of oil.
The kind of weaponry that would hit Israel in a retaliation would just be unbelievable. In addition, Iran would activate all of its sleeper networks in the United States and Latin America. You would have incredible strikes on the mass transit systems and everything. It would just be horrible beyond belief.
And you're talking about the Hezbollah being Iran's surrogate. They've got extended missiles, right,
and
rockets to rain down on Israel.
Now the Russians are getting into the act. They just sold a whole bunch of jammers, you know, to protect Iran's air defense systems, things like that. I mean, everybody's flexing their muscles, but again, who really wants to risk this?
Well, the president in an election year would, of course, get the same treatment that Bill Clinton did over Monica Lewinsky. You know that he's trying to distract the American people from domestic failures. The oil prices would go through the ceiling. The recession would deepen. There'd have to be an awfully good reason to do this.
I don't think it exists. If you go through all the different factors, you have to place great weight on the U.S. intelligence assessments on this. And they're always being interpreted by everybody. It's almost like the ridiculous language of the FBI describing the Iranian plot. I love it when a CIA informant suddenly says, I take this to mean in terms of my experience, it's such and such. It's just nonsense. You know, there's so much room for loose wording and laxness of thought. You run into real disasters.
Well, my understanding that the plot was designed to be exercised at the time of the Hajj, when there's a lot of Iranian pilgrims, in the hope that they would provoke the Saudis into an angry overreaction against this Iranian pilgrims.
The Saudis can be very hot-tempered. You know, I remember back in 1988, I guess, the Saudis killed over 400 people that began to riot during the Hajj. So, I mean, the Saudis are certainly not above slaughter in this matter, but I don't think they're beating the drum on this. It strikes me as a bit hollow.
So then is this some kind of psyop that we're all being suckered into talking about? And it's just to make the mullahs nervous? Is that what's going on?
I think so. Absolutely. I think the actual goal of all this is to, what will emerge from there are really very drastic sanctions against Iran. You're not going to have a regional war. I mean, I'd stick my reputation, again, barring any act by some lunatic, but the Israeli military staff is very, very intelligent, very, very skilled, very well trained, and not stupid. And they're not going to do something that's disastrous to their own interests.
And then what is the likelihood of of? I mean, one of the other theories out there, and I don't want to beat a dead horse here, is that you know, Petraeus was sent to the CIA for a good reason, that they've developed a good kind of working MO, that Obama is actually quite aggressive in terms of foreign policy, but not in the clumsy Bush boots on the ground way, but in a more subtle way, and that they're
much more subtle.
That they feel that the Libyan experiment worked out really well, and that they're replicating that now in Somalia with using other boots on the ground and their own air assets.
The Saudis played a major role in giving us intelligence that have caused us to be effective on the ground in Yemen and hitting targets in Yemen.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, the Saudis are all over the lot on this, but they're very reliable intelligence sources when it comes to Yemen. And you know, extracting Al Qaeda, but the main thing is to remember that when Panetta went to Israel, his message was to say we could not be dragged into a war, and that's one of the reasons they were talking about the new virus. And the new virus is very, very interesting, by the way. It's sort of a two-tier job. It's the intelligence phase. It's an intelligence gathering instrument at the moment. And it can then later on deliver virus attacks on facilities. The new virus called Dooku. I don't know how you pronounce it. But anyway, it's already been. Certain European firms have already been targeted by it.
So, just though to follow up on the idea of the Obama foreign policy, defense intelligence policy being more subtle, less heavy-handed, and they're sort of on a roll from their, in quotes, success in Libya. Is there any possibility of the Green Revolution reigniting and having the same situation that the NATO had in Libya, in as much as you're not sending in your forces, you're helping the Libyan people overthrow a dictator, or in this case, the Iranian people overthrow a dictatorship?
Well, I don't think the freedom agenda is working for Obama. I just don't. I mean, his foreign policy is indirect. I mean, they were going to use, at one point they were considering using the new virus on installations in Libya, and at the last minute they retreated from that. But they have a lot of weapons in their, a lot of arrows in their quiver, and they're very clever about using them.
So, but just in terms of what's happening in terms of, the Iranian Nobel laureate Shirin Ebadi says that the Green Movement is still alive. It is the embers burning under the ashes.
I would think that's accurate. Now, what can they do?
So if they can't do much. They can't, because they've already had their heads cracked by the IRGC.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, it is a very rigid, very, very ideological and very ruthless dictatorship. It's very hard to move around or have any latitude for operation.
So there is no way then to do anything about this regime, militarily or through other measures? Is that your conclusion?
Well, Khamenei now is driving all this in Iran. And
his son, right? His son is supposed to be the real operative, right?
Yeah, and he's got, he's got former Quds operators of long standing with him and that sort of thing. But, what is their effectiveness going to be? I mean, if they haven't developed their own counter to the malware, what are they going to do? I mean, they're trying, but they don't have it.
Right.
So I don't think the idea that suddenly we're going to be confronted with an Iranian bomb is, I think, it's just nonsense.
Right. Well, but the leadership itself, in your opinion, Richard Sale, even though they're incredibly paranoid about their own people, you don't think they're going to be unseated anytime soon?
No,
from
I
within.
Know. I wish they would, but I just don't see it happening.
I see.
I really don't. That was, Khomeini erected this particular form of government, and it really is a very, very oppressive bureaucracy. So, I mean, I don't see anybody getting much relief from it.
No. Well, it would be the ultimate nightmare here in the United States to be ruled by Pat Robinson and.
Oh, I mean, it would be. You can imagine Pat Robinson and Michelle Bachmann. That'd be wonderful, wouldn't it?
Right. Well, I thank you for joining us, Richard Sale.
Well, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you.
Again, I've been speaking with Richard Sale, who's been reporting on intelligence since the 1970s. He was a finalist for the Pulitzer Prize and is the author of Clinton's Secret Wars. He has an article at Truth Out, U.S. and Israeli tech teams develop malware to take down Iran's computer software. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon and Natalie Movsisian. This program is available for podcasts, and you can sign up there at ianmasters.com, where you can also contact me. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now. Bye.